Good morning. I really can carry this by myself. Like, I'm not a weakling, but Kevin is just such a gentleman. So my name is Pastor Becky. If we don't know each other, I am the wife of Kevin and co-pastor here at our East Aurora campus. It's so good to be here with you today. And we are in week two of our a series that we're doing on sanctification, which if that word is just like has too many syllables for you, that's all right. We're going to kind of break it down and understand it. But we're in a series about the journey of sanctification called Road Trip. And we're kind of taking this experience, very familiar experience of a road trip, and seeing if we can use it to apply to sanctification and better understand what sanctification is. And in other words, when I say sanctification, I just mean growing in holiness with Jesus. So growing in holiness with Jesus. And last week, we handed out kind of this note sheet that's kind of a map. I think we have it up here on the screen. So if you weren't here last week and you want a little copy of that with a reading plan on the back, Kevin will come and personally hand you one. Autographed. And no, it's not autographed. Sorry. But I thought maybe I'd get people to raise their hands that way. It didn't work. Guess nobody wants your autograph, Kev. So, but that's just something, a helpful note sheet that we used last week to help us picture this idea of a road trip as it applies to sanctification. And so just a little review as Kevin hands those out. We talked about preparation. You got to prepare for a road trip. It's going to make it go better. It's going to make it more enjoyable. And so we kind of paired that with this theological concept of prevenient grace. It's the grace that comes before you even believe. It's the grace that leads you, that prepares you for even coming to faith in Jesus. So it's this beautiful thing where you're like, oh, Jesus, yeah, I'm learning more about him. I'm deciding to turn to him, to put my faith in him. And you found that there was grace the whole way. And so it's grace upon grace upon grace. So that prevenient grace. And then we talked about in a road trip, after you prepare, well, you got to actually get in the car and start the ignition. And so we paired that with saving grace, where you decide, I am going to get in on this journey with Jesus. I put my faith and my trust in him, and you start that car. And when you start your car, multiple things happen in order to get that engine going. And in the same way, when you come to saving grace and saving faith in Jesus Christ, three things happen kind of simultaneously. We talked about justification. It's just as if I'd never sinned. You're made right with God. We talked about regeneration. You're giving new life in God, and adoption, that you are adopted into the family of God. And then as you look through that long stretch of the Midwest, if you've ever driven through Ohio or like North Dakota or Indiana, you're like, how many cornfields could possibly be in our nation? That is sanctification. And we kind of put it in there because this is where in our lives as believers, this is where we spend most of our lives, in this sanctification process. And then if you look all the way to the right, you see that our final destination, where we have our hope, is that glorification. When we are brought home to glory, when we are face to face with our God and Creator and Savior. That's what makes the rest of the road trip worth it, right? Where your final destination. And we don't want to be so focused on the final destination that we don't actually enjoy the road trip, but that's what makes all the bumps and detours and obstacles in our journey worth it, that final destination. But one thing that makes a road trip more enjoyable is conversation. It's the people you're with, what you talk about. When my family and I take a road trip, Kevin and the kids and I, we have some of the best conversations. That's where sometimes just in the car on the journey, we make some of the best memories, especially when our kids were little and they would just say ridiculous things and it was just so funny and cute. But, you know, we cover all sorts of topics. We talk about our favorite memories. We talk about dreams for the future. We talk about family and friends and troublesome congregants, you know, that kind of a thing. I'm kind of half kidding. But we have some great conversations. It makes it so much better. And so today, as we continue on our journey of sanctification to become more like Jesus, we're going to look at a few talking points, a few conversation starters to help all of us better understand sanctification, but also to help us know how to talk about it with others. In fact, I hope this series starts some conversations around your dinner table, or around, you know, the lunch table at work, or with family and friends, or your community group. And so I just kind of want to help you and give you some talking points into that conversation. I want to remind you, normally when we preach, we have an anchoring text, and we just pretty much plant ourselves in that text. Last week and this week, in order to give you that full picture of sanctification, we're jumping around a little bit more. All the verses will be on the screen, but if you have like your actual Bible, just be prepared to flip back and forth and this way and that way. But we'll get back to our typical style of preaching next week. I do want to take a moment to pray, and here's why. First of all, prayer is effective, and it's a value of ours here at Revive Wesleyan. But this idea of sanctification, it takes a bit to wrap our head around it. And so I don't want any kind of thing sneaking in like pride or low self-confidence or this is all based on me or perfectionism. I don't know what this hand movement is. I'm sorry. This is not helpful. But I just want to pray against that and pray for clarity for us. So let's bow our heads and pray. God, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you that they show up every week and that they're here to learn, they're open, and they just want more of you, Jesus. And so I just pray that your spirit would be here, would meet each heart where it's at, that we would be ministered to, that we would be encouraged and strengthened, and that you would bring clarity to each and every one of us wherever we are in our journey of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first talking point about sanctification, and again, we're just going to be wording sanctification, it's just growing in holiness. Number one is that Jesus is holy. Jesus is holy. He is holy. He is blameless. He alone is without sin. He wasn't just an amazing teacher and rabbi. He wasn't just a really awesome moral example that we can go to be inspired figure out what the next good thing we should do is. He was those things, but he wasn't just those things. Jesus is God's one and only Son. And because of that, he is perfectly holy. In fact, he's referred to as being holy throughout Scripture, but there's two scriptures I want to take a look at where he's called this title, the Holy One of God. It's used multiple times in the New Testament. First time we see it, it's used by demons. And they call Jesus this. So Jesus was teaching. The people were like amazed at his teaching, the authority that he had. He spoke in a way no other teacher or rabbi ever had. And so much so that a man who was listening to one of these teachings, he was possessed by a demon. And the demons cried out and said, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" They understood his power and his authority. And then they said, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Even the demons knew that. And you might think, well, what? How could demons, they're demons, how could they? Well, they knew, they mentally assented and said, "Yeah, we know who you are, the Holy One of God," but they certainly didn't acknowledge their sin, repent, or put their faith and trust in Jesus. All right, so you can mentally say, "Oh yeah, Jesus is the Holy One of God," and still not be a Christian and a disciple and a follower of him. And so the demons even acknowledged this. And then later on, one of his disciples, Peter, calls him this as well. People, after another particularly challenging teaching of Jesus, people are like, "Oh gosh, forget it." And they started deserting Jesus. And so Jesus turns to his 12, you know, his main guys, and he says, "Hey, are you guys going to leave me too?" And Simon Peter answered him in John 6, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." So because Jesus embodied holiness, as we would now say, sanctification, better than anyone else on earth, he is at the center of our conversation about it, because it's not based on us, our works, our righteousness, our anything. It's all based on what he did. And what's mind-blowing to me is that Jesus was holy before he came to earth as a human being. He has always existed, and he's always been perfectly righteous. He's always been perfectly holy. He's God's son. Basically, he did not need to go on the road trip of sanctification like you and I do. He was already entirely sanctified, but he did it anyway. Why? Well, I want to read to you a verse that is probably quite familiar to you, John 3:16. Here's why. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Why? Why did Jesus come? Because he loved the world. So I want to make this connection in your brain. There's a major connection between holiness and love. Maybe you've connected holiness with pride because the people that were holy were like walking around with their noses turned up at everybody or walking around as if they belonged to, you know, somewhere else and you people, commoners over there, you know, they couldn't get involved with you. No. Holiness, we need to connect that in our minds with love, and we'll talk more about that later. Because Jesus jumped into the car with humanity and took a 33-year road trip. Actually, it was mostly walking, but you get what I'm saying. In the dust and the mud and the mire and the sin of humanity. He himself never sinned, but he walked among us. And then he died for us, for our sins, so that we could have eternal life with him. And not just eternal life, although that's going to be great, but that we can live this life now, today, to the full. And because of his holy, sinless life, we know that Jesus is the only way to God. He's the one and only Son of God, and he's the only one who's died for all of humanity and was then raised to life. So we're not trying to be exclusive when we say that Jesus is the only way to God. It's just that no one's done what he has done. So point number one, talking point number one about sanctification, again, just meaning growing in holiness with Jesus. Jesus is holy. And then number two, Jesus makes us holy. Jesus doesn't just save us, although that's pretty cool. It's amazing in and of itself. But he also makes us holy. He makes us more like himself. And so holy is also kind of like holistic. I want you to have this holistic view of salvation and of faith. Last week, again, we talked about saving grace, but that's not just escaping hell at some future date. It's living a holy and whole life right now. Again, saving faith is these three things happening all at the same time. Justification, you have a new status with God. You were his enemy, and now you're right with him because of Jesus. It's just as if I'd never sinned. And then generation, we have regeneration. We have new life in God. We were dead in our sins, and now we have life in Christ. We're adopted into a new family of God. Did you know you have millions of brothers and sisters in Christ around the world and throughout history? And so we're adopted into this incredible new family of God. And so in that moment, we are covered. Scripture tells us we're covered in Christ. In fact, Galatians says that we're clothed in Christ. So when God looks at you, he doesn't see all of the sin and the baggage and all the bad stuff that maybe you've said, thought, did. He doesn't see all of that. When we're believers, when we put our faith in Jesus, he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus' perfection. He sees Jesus' holiness, his righteousness. So when God the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. Sanctification then means we actually become more like Jesus. It's a process. We grow in holiness. This is why we're talking about it as a journey. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, "For by one sacrifice, Jesus has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." Did you know that you are both, if you're a Christian, you put your faith in Jesus, you are both already made perfect forever and in real time being made holy? That's a little trippy to think about, right? Because it's like, what kind of space-time continuum are we on here? But God is above and beyond time. And so he has, at the same time, made you perfect forever, but is also actually making you holier each and every day as you follow him. And you're like, okay, that sounds great, but how do I actually know that's happening? We could do a whole series on that, but I want you to think about one question here, one mile marker maybe. Are you growing in love for God, his ways, his words, his people, his church? Are you growing in love for God and others? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God." We love God so much, we want to imitate him. We want to be like him as beloved children. and walk in love as Christ loved us. So we love God and love others as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So it's not just that we say a prayer of salvation and think, whew, I'm all set for eternity, back to my old life. No, there's so much more. There's so much more to it. We look to God and we imitate him. We copy him. We walk more and more in love every day because we receive this fountain of love that God has for us that never ends. It's infinite. You have an infinite pool of love that you can draw from. And so as we pursue God the Father, we draw from that pool of love. We once again experience it, and then we give that love away. And that's what we mean. That's why we have you say that each and every day, or each and every week, that we pursue the Father. And we pursue him by reading his word, learning his ways. And as we live that out, did you know that our lives proclaim Jesus? That as we live in this world in the way that God would have us to, that we are proclaiming Jesus. And of course, we participate with the Holy Spirit in all of that. I hope you're tracking with me here, all right? I want to move on to a third talking point, but first, let's say the first two points together, okay? So sanctification is growing in holiness. Number one, Jesus is holy. And then for the second one, I want you to point to yourself when you say us. Jesus makes us holy. And then the third talking point is Jesus makes us holy in relationship with him and others. Now, I suppose if efficiency was like a number one value for Jesus, he could have, instead of making it, you know, we're made holy in relationship with him and others, he could have just had like, here's like some sanctification soap, okay? You've put your faith in me. Here's some soap. You can wash your hands, you know, every once in a while. Bye. See you later. Good luck. Or maybe like a pill. Wouldn't that, like a sanctification pill, wouldn't that have been nice? Take one of these once a day for 30 days and you're sanctified. Like, honestly, that's how I would have done it. Let's just get this done, right? Efficiency. But that would have missed the whole point for Jesus, because he came here to be in relationship with us. And he knows that it's more effective when we do this with others. We see this as we look at the model of how Jesus did ministry in the last 3 years of his life. So the first 30 years of Jesus' life, we actually don't really know too much about, which is crazy to me because he's like the most well-known historical figure for people who study history. And for us, those of us who believe, I mean, we worship him, right? Christians are, Christianity is the biggest world religion. And so a lot of people worship him. And yet the first 30 years we know nearly nothing about. But those last 3 years of his public ministry, we see him developing trust with his disciples, those 12 that he chose. They lived life together, traveling, eating, serving, resting, going to dinner parties, experiencing miracles. And it took 3 years of his disciples seeing Jesus do the same thing over and over and hearing him teach the same things over and over before they fully understood who he was and why he had come, and that he was blowing the lid off of their little idea of what the Messiah would be like. And that's why it's so important for us as his disciples today to stay in close relationship with Jesus. Because I don't know about you, like the disciples, I'm a pretty slow learner when it comes to the ways of God. I need to be reminded again and again. And so we need that relationship with him every day and then throughout the day, just like any close relationship that you have. Who do you text and call the most? It's those that you're closest with. And so being in that close relationship by reading and meditating on his words, on scripture, by talking to God throughout the day, through prayer, and by obeying his words, and doing what he says. And so Jesus kind of describes this phenomenon that I'm talking about, how to stay in close relationship with him. In John 15, he says, look, think of it this way. I am like the vine of a plant, and you are the branches. God the Father is the gardener, but I am the stem. I'm the main part of the plant. So if you and I aren't connected, you're going to start to wither. You're not going to get the nutrients that you need, and eventually you're just going to fall off the plant. But he says, if we stay connected, you will receive all that you need, all the nutrients that you need. And so he says this in John 15, verse 9 through 12. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, if you follow God's word, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and catch this, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. And so this journey of sanctification, this road trip, is not to be done alone. And so one way that we, as an organization of Revive Wesleyan, lives this out is through Heart Check, which, if you've been around even for like the past 4 to 6 weeks, you've heard about Heart Check. It's our annual outreach campaign that partners with other organizations. Because you know what? Revive Wesleyan recognizes we're not the end-all be-all. There are other people doing ministry far better than we can. And so we partner with organizations locally, regionally, and globally who care for those who are vulnerable, those who are hungry, are imprisoned, they're in poverty, they're in danger. And so we have this philosophy that we want our partnerships not to be just transactional, but transformational. Transformational. We want to build relationships with them because this is how the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ really comes alive. We could simply write a check, be like, here you go, keep up the good work, see you next year, and have no further interaction. But that's not how we want to grow in holiness together with our partners. We do it by giving, by praying, by going. In fact, last week we did give you a Heart Check update. We gave you a really important number that we had 291 people across all five campuses pledged to Heart Check for a total of $627, which is awesome. But don't clap yet. I love your enthusiasm, Kevin. We also had, these numbers are just as important, we also had 198 people say, I'm going to pray for our partner organizations because they're going into places that most people won't go, and they need prayer. And we're binding ourselves together, we're joining ourselves together with these partner organizations in prayer. And then we had 83 people that said, you know what, I'm going to go. I'm going to go and serve, whether that means locally or in, at maybe like a rural outreach center, which is an organization we partner with here in East Aurora, or regionally in the city of Buffalo with Compass Care or 8 Days of Hope or Jericho Road, or globally in the many places we go, Lebanon and Zambia, Africa and India. And they said, 83 people said, I'm going to go. Okay, now you can clap. It's not just a transaction, it's transformational. And we learn that from Jesus because that's how he operates. Is there a transactional aspect to it? Yeah, we give him our sins, he gives us our righteousness. That's a pretty good transaction. But it's also a transformation where every day we grow to be more holy. We grow to become more like him. Another way that Revive Wesleyan does that, just even within our own congregations, is that we focus heavily on community groups. A community group is a gathering of, 8 to 10, maybe 12 people who meet on a regular basis to study scripture, to pray for each other, but also to kind of live life together, to encourage, to support each other on this journey that we're all on, this journey towards sanctification, growing in holiness with Jesus. And so no matter where you are in your faith journey, and we're all on a faith journey, no matter where you are in that journey, you can grow by being in fellowship with others on the journey. And so if that's something that's interesting to you, one thing that you can do is you can actually, if you want to maybe get connected into a community group, you can text the word group to the number on the screen. We'll gather your information, and we're kind of going to take that and sift through it over the summer in the hopes that toward the end of the summer, early fall, we can get you into a group. A lot of groups take a break over the summer, but we at least want to know who's interested so that we can help you get into a growing environment in a group. Maybe you've been in a group, and you're like, it's absolutely been transformational, and maybe you want to take that next step of faith and lead a group. Then you can text LEADER to that same number. We'll give you some training. We'll just see kind of where you're at and do that process over the summer. So that's just one. We want to create avenues for you onto this journey of sanctification that you can grow together, because we need others along the way, and they need us. We need each other. All right, so the fourth and final talking point that I have for you as you talk about and think about sanctification, growing in holiness with Jesus. Jesus is holy. Jesus makes us holy. Jesus makes us holy in relationship with him and others. And then holiness is growing in his love. And when I say the word love, we have all different experiences in our lives of what love looks like, what it feels like. And hopefully those experiences are overwhelmingly positive, but I know that all of us have some kind of a skewed vision of love because the people in our life are flawed. Parents who have walked away, friends who have betrayed us, maybe broken marriages, maybe you've experienced abuse at the hands of someone you trusted. However, Jesus' display of love on the cross is our example of love. It was the purest form of love, completely selfless and sacrificial. And so as we continue to experience, to receive that love through his word, through his son, through his people, through his creation, we are to display that. We're to pass that love on for all the world to see. And so I want to ask you, are you growing in love toward God, his word and his ways, and toward others, especially those who are not like you or who challenge you? In fact, difficult people are part of your sanctification process because it's like God's like, this is where the rubber hits the road. You can't just sing on a Sunday morning. You can't just be like, ooh, I love that Bible verse about love. It gives me all the fuzzy, warm feelings. You know, you actually got to go out and love people, even the ones that drive you nuts. Because when you were that difficult person, somebody loved you. That's why you're here. And it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do this. And Jesus is so good. He's so faithful. Grace upon grace upon grace. So you and I are on this road trip. We're traveling down the highway of sanctification together to our ultimate destination, glorification, when we see God face to face, when we die or he comes back, whatever happens first. It's kind of hard to imagine what that will be like, but I think it's important for us to keep that on the forefront of our lives, to give us hope and energy and strength. And I want to wrap up with this verse. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, love never fails. God's love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And then Paul says this, and it's such a great analogy. For now we see things only as a reflection in a mirror. But then, glorification, we will see him face to face. He says, now I only know in part, but then I shall know fully, get this, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And do you know why the greatest of these is love? Because when we're face to face with our Creator, we don't need faith. He's right there. We don't need hope. He's right there. Love is the longest lasting of those things. Amen. And until that time, we do have faith in our side. We have hope to get us through. But it's love that carries us on into eternity. This is the hope of the Christian faith. Can you think of a better one? I can't. And so let's grow in this faith. Let's grow in this belief together. I don't know about you. I don't want to just meander aimlessly down the road of sanctification. I don't want to stall out on the side of the road because I ran out of gas because I tried to do it all on my own. I don't want to get distracted or detoured by the things of this life. I don't want to go it alone. I want Jesus by my side, driving the car, choosing the music, handing me snacks, pointing out things that we can see as we go along. So at the end of my life, I can look back and be in awe of the adventures he and I had together and the people that he brought into my life, including each and every one of you. And that we can look at the things that we saw, the hard and the ugly things and the beautiful and the wonderful things, and I'll be amazed at how he was able to use all of it to draw me closer to him, to make me more like him, that he used it to declare his love to me, and he uses it to declare his love to you again and again and again. He makes us holy and whole through the power of his love. We're going to enter into a time of communion where we celebrate this, that out of his broken body, he made us whole. And so as Kevin comes forward to lead us in that time, I just want to pray. God, thank you for your Spirit. You're so faithful. You're so faithful. And no matter where each and every one of us are on our journey of faith, you meet us there, and you meet us there with grace to help us along the way. May we acknowledge, Lord, the areas where we've been trying to do it on our own and say, God, I need you and I need others. Show me how. May we acknowledge where our love for others has come out of our own finite resources of love, and so we've not been doing well in that area. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to tap into your infinite source of love. Help us to pursue you, to proclaim you, and to participate with what your Spirit is doing. In Jesus' name. Amen.